Good to have you all gathered here. It's good to be back home. I got my hat on and my hat's staying on, Gail.
Okay.
All right. We'll take it off when it's prayer time. Right now, it's time for the rabbi to lead you in service.
You don't want to mess up your hair.
Not only that, yeah, I have new dents in my head from being introduced to all my in-laws, outlaws, and everything else. That went well. I have no major scars. But we were at Northern Lights Chapel last week. Military chapel on base, and we gathered together, and the front cover says Northern Lights Chapel, and they use Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature and attaining a whole measure of fullness of Christ. And I thought that tied nice into your service today, Howard. When you gather together, you come across different churches and different groups, and in their announcement it says, teachers wanted. We are seeking Bible teachers for numerous adult and youth programs, just like us. Just like us. We need participators, not spectators. And just like good Protestant denominations across the world, they have a potluck. Then they have children's chapel. I was pleased with their church service because, very similar to our service, they have children's church. And they come down front and share the word of the God with the little kids. So as we start service today, I'd like you to turn to 440. It's called I Sought the Lord, 440. 440, I Sought the Lord. I'm going to read this in unison. That means we're going to read it all together. I sought the Lord, 440. Reading, I sought the Lord, and afterward I knew. He moved my soul to seek him. Seeking me, it was not that I was found, O Savior true. No, I was found of thee. Thou didst reach forth thy hand, and mine enfold. And I walked and sank not on the storm-vexed sea. It was not so much that I on thee took hold, as thou, dear Lord, on me. I find, I walk, I love, but oh, the whole of love is my answer. Lord, to thee, for thou wert long beforehand with my soul, always thou lovest me. Amen. Join with me in prayer. Father, we're so thankful to be gathered outside in your cathedral where the wind blows, the air is crisp and clear, and we can assemble openly and freely in a nation founded under God, a nation that allows us to exercise our rights for freedom of religion, not freedom from religion. We thank you, Father, for this day. We are so blessed to have Linda back with us and other folks that have had physical problems, and we return. We continue to pray, Lord, and lift up those that have infirmities. And Father, we're so blessed because your hand of favor has truly been upon us. Your hand of favor followed Elaine and I as we traveled. Your hand of favor carried this little church while we were gone. Your hand of favor caused people to rise up and do your work, and do your work without flaw. We ask this day, Father, that you would renew in us a spirit of can-do, that you would renew in us a spirit of enthusiasm, that we would actively seek your face, read your word, that we would share the joy of Jesus Christ with each and every person that we come in contact with, so that your favor, Father, could be unmistakable in people's lives. We ask, Father, to be renewed and healed and lifted up, and we ask, Father, that as we gather together in your prayer, that we're lifted to a new level of play and excellence for you. And we all gather together in a prayer that his son Jesus taught us when he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
continue service with 242 in the garden, and we'll do all three verses. 242. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we carry it, none other has ever known. He speaks and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave come, and we're going to turn a small portion of the abundance that God has given us. And we are abundantly blessed. I travel across the whole width of the country and all the way up to Alaska and back. And we came through some storms in Chicago. And while we were gone, you folks had really oppressive heat while we were gone up through. But through it all, we in the little town of Wales were abundantly blessed.
Amen.
When you go to Alaska, you discover a lot of things. It's a magnificent state. It's a magnificent state because of the great fishing, the great hunting, the opportunity. It really is a place where you can go. And if you're willing to work and have the tenacity to survive, you can carve out a nice living. But the simple elements are what they do not have. They do not have good water. They have a lot of water, but when you drill a well there, if you think Wales water is bad, theirs is worse. People spend $1 zillion on tanks to bring in fresh water so that they can have clear, clean water to drink. They have the ability to have natural resources to build suitable dwellings, but suitable dwellings need to withstand 40 to 60 below zero temperatures. You have the opportunity for adventure. One of our friends' son, Bruno, was working at a gold camp up in Prudhoe. Prudhoe has no telephones, no electricity. They stay there and they work in the gold fields, and they work until snow comes and they come back home, and everything has to be trucked in and out. Elaine's son has a trucking business that she and her husband formerly ran, and a barge company is going to go out of business this year up in Alaska. It's the only barge company that takes care of the villages. So if you're in a village, you're already paying a severe price to get your supplies in and out, and now the only way to get them in and out after this barge company goes out will be to fly the stuff in. So we are truly abundantly blessed here. And if you're going to be an Alaskan, you need to have that glass be half full each and every day, because there's a lot of reasons for it to be half empty. So as the ushers come forward, I want you to think about just how blessed you are. How blessed you are that you woke up this morning and your feet hit the ground. How blessed you are that you live in a country that allows us to assemble. How blessed you are to be part of a church congregation that networks with folks across the country so that we're very, very powerful. Because with God, you're never alone. Ushers will receive the morning offering.
Thank you.
Father, we ask you to bless these gifts. We ask you to bless them as well as the giver, Father. We ask that you show us favor on the work that we do, that you continue to smile your face upon us, that you help us to expand the ministry, help us to reach those that have not heard your voice or seen your face or felt your love. Help us to do the work that needs to be done, Father. Go where you'd have us go. Help us to step out of ourselves and hear your voice and feel your guidance. We lift these up to you through your Son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Prayer time. Opportunity to lift up joys and concerns. Opportunity to share. We're always blessed and blessed mightily. Oh, children? Oh, yeah, children's time. Son of a gun. We skipped right over Hannah. Come on, Hannah. And Alexis. And Alexis. Hannah's got a baby with my haircut. A beautiful thing.
Starting school next week, right? Have you ever been to school before? Preschool. Were there a lot of kids there?
Yeah.
Yeah? Did you have new kids in your school? Think they're going to be different than you guys? Think they're going to dress different? Will they have the same color hair as you? Some of them will. How about thin color eyes? Do they have thin color eyes? Some of them will. Will they be as tall as you? That's true. Think you're going to be the tallest one in your class? Shortest one? Think so? Oh, I feel clean. Everybody's different, right? But you know what they do in school? Some kids do, they learn, but some kids do mean things. They say mean things, they pick on other people. Like, when I was in school, if you wore gold sneakers like that, you would have been really cool. But, when my children were in school, if you wore gold sneakers like that, they would have picked on you for that, because you wore something different. I want you guys to think about the people that Jesus talked to. You think Jesus talked to only the really cool people? Yeah. Did he talk to the people that nobody else liked? He did, yeah. There are going to be kids in your school that nobody else is going to like. But you know what your job is going to be to do? To be nice to them anyway. Because you're the only. That means you have to be nice to the people that other people pick on too. So that might not be your heart. But that's okay because God is going to use us.
Yeah, and also that's
very nice. That is nice. That's right. You are on fire, baby. Okay, let's pray. Jesus, I ask you to help.
Prayer time. Time to lift up joys. We have a lot of joys. We got new grandkids. We got birthdays. We got folks back here that have been hurt and that we've been praying for. Prayer is a powerful thing. Elaine talked to you about Kurt and Darla and the little baby Angelica and how much they appreciate our prayers. Prayers are powerful. You feel prayers. You know, I've different times over my life, people will say, Pastor, we feel your prayers. We feel the prayers. And the Bible talks about the prayers of the righteous man do not go unanswered. And we got some new folks on the prayer list. If you don't know, Leon was in the hospital. His blood sugar went sky high. He was over 500 on the blood sugar scale, which is stroke time.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. I don't know how many people saw, but J.P. Charette's dad passed away. So we should pray for his family.
Yep.
I meant to mention it.
I got an email from him, too, so that should be on there. And JP's dad battled cancer for quite a few years. And I need to keep the Charette family in prayer. But Leon's home and doing well. Good to see Linda here. And out and about. Faith is doing well. She said that she'll be here this next week. On the Cancer Warriors, you'll see my son-in-law Kevin's father, Kenny. Kenny's battled cancer for 2 years. They thought it was gone. It's not. It's back. It's not good, so we need to lift him up in prayer. I plan on spending some time with him and the family. And Jeannie, how's your sister Ruth doing?
Well, she had another chemo treatment this week, as I said before, they're shrinking. But she's still got a long road ahead of her. Needs a lot of
care. Very good. Missy Hagen's doing okay. She has more surgeries to have. She may need eye surgery down the road, but she continues to recover. Kelly's in holding mode, waiting for the call to go have that little baby boy come out into the world. So Joel and everybody is on edge, waiting away. Tom, where'd Tom go? Tom? Oh. Yeah. How's Tom's sister?
Good. She's home. She's in a wheelchair, but she's doing all of her exercises.
Good. Very good. Now, we talk about God's favor. Elaine and I know that God showed us favor on our trip. Before we left, everybody in Alaska called and said, it's rained here for all these days. We're cold and damp and rainy, it's nasty, na 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 na. We took off, the sun came out, the sun was there. Right till we left, we got on the plane to come home and the rain started. God shows you favor in a variety of ways. You just have to be aware that when you're in a checkout line and all of a sudden a new checkout register opens, that's God's favor. It's God's hand on you, providing you the way. Join with me in prayer, and then you can add your own prayer request. Father, we're grateful for your love and for your concern and that you love each and all of us. We ask, Father, that you put your healing hand on all the folks that require healing on our bulletin, that you hold them close, Lord, that you treat them kindly. We're thankful that Leon's back home and doing better. We're thankful that Linda and Faith are doing better. We're thankful, Father, for Jeannie's sister, that Ruth is doing better. We're thankful that Kelly's in a holding pattern and the baby's doing well. And we pray for all those folks, Father, that need healing. We're thankful for the children, for the baby Luke. We're thankful for Angelica. We're thankful that Jacob, we haven't had a report from him, Lord, but we know that the family has turned him over to you, Father, and that your healing hands are upon him, and they are people of great faith, Father, and we pray for a miracle in this little boy. We continue to lift up all our leaders, local and national. We search for a new leader, and we pray that one will emerge, that the two candidates that are there really don't seem to be the right fit for the job, Father. We pray for another one to emerge, or that clarity be given to us. For we are a great nation founded under God, and we need a godly presidential candidate to step forward. We pray, Father, for guidance and wisdom. We pray for our firefighters, our police officers, and our military. And God bless them all, Father, and the families that wait. We were blessed to be on a very large military base with young men and women that serve you and met a lot of their families, Father, that support them. And we are blessed and blessed mightily by their desire to stand in harm's way for our local firefighters and our local police that step up each and every day an emergency occurs. We pray for them and for their safety and for their families. And now, Father, we add our own individual prayers.
Thank you, Lord. Prayers of joy that Pastor and Linda are here this morning. Prayers of hope that Kelly has his new birth in this coming week. And I ask for prayers of mercy on my co-worker's son, Jacob, who is at Connecticut Children's Medical Center now. Dana Farber and Boston Children's Hospital doctors have told him that they don't expect that this is going to work out. They are putting their faith in God. They're trying both conventional and some alternative therapies and a whole lot of prayer, and just ask either for a miracle or, if it's God's will, that he go home without a great deal more suffering.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this blessed day, Lord. We thank you for this great, wonderful country that you allow us to live in, Lord. We pray for our military men and women spread around the world, Lord, ensuring that we can enjoy this wonderful freedom that we have, Lord. And we pray for all our children and our grandchildren. Bless them and take care of them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for our Christian family. You blessed us so much while we were gone. You gave us to take care of our garden, to water our plants, to feed our fish, to mow our lawn, to watch over our garden. It made it so that we didn't have to fret while we were gone. I thank you for the time that we had to connect with family and friends. And I thank you so much for keeping us safe. And I thank you for bringing us home. We're so glad to be home. And I praise you in Jesus' name.
Lord, I thank you for your new granddaughter. Keep her safe and keep the family safe and help them. Just keep them with you. Thank you.
Thank you, for this beautiful day. Beautiful babies that are being born and to be born. We just pray for good health and a long and healthy life for a long time. God be with them all and with all of us. Amen.
Good morning, Lord. Thank you for this day. I looked up Stephanie and her special needs. You know what they are, just diver. And I pray for the Charette family that you give them peace during this time of mourning for them. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, we come and we gather and feel you in the breeze. We hear you in the silence. We are so blessed and so grateful, Lord, that you love us individually, that you know each of our names, that you have a plan for us for good and not for evil, that you provide us with all the things that we need. All we have to do is look around and network base with other like-minded Christians, and you provide and fill all the needs. You answer all the questions. We pray for courage to be a warrior and move forward with things we don't want to do, that we hear your voice and follow your voice like we would a GPS system, except your voice guides us home to salvation. Thank and praise you and lift up all these prayers through your son Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. scripture reading today is from the Gospel of Matthew, 5th chapter, verses 43 and 44. Ye have heard that there hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which deceitfully use you and persecute you. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Paid a lot of money to come speak up here today. You're speaking of, you're talking about your Alaska trip. Oh, I'm sorry, there you go, Alaska trip. I have a friend of mine who moved up there just about 2 years ago. Big horse guy. Couldn't do the horses though. The hay was too expensive for trucking out of Canada and the States, and the hay that they grew there, it was so infused with silica that it damaged the horses' lungs and throats and noses. And I thought, you know, I couldn't do that. I couldn't leave him behind, and he had to leave his behind. So, but he's having a good, he's doing well up there. He took up flying so he could get around and helps out. But yes, I like to visit there, but it's not on my bucket list to live there. Let me ask all of you here, just a brief show of hands, how many think the world's going to hell in a handbasket? Pretty much all of us, right? And I bet if I asked you all to give an example why you think it's going all down the toilet, all of you come up with a different reason why. Truth is, we live in a very difficult time and have for some time now.
Amen.
Is the whole world lost? I sometimes get the impression that it is when you listen to the news and you see all the persecution that's taking place, all the conflicts that are out there. It's a difficult time. I personally cannot watch the news more than once or twice a week because it just becomes too overbearing. There's just too much, and I cannot do a thing about it. And I feel as if I'm being pushed to do something about it, and I'm just one person, and it's overwhelming for me. There are so many examples that we can look at in our own lives just today of how this is all going wrong for us. And I'm not going to sit there and try to explain all the stuff that goes wrong in the world, but let's face it, anti-social media isn't helping us. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter are full of shamers and haters. If you have an opinion, someone's going to trounce on it. You have a celebration, someone's going to knock it down. There are people with their fingers on the trigger ready to knock you on your rear end for whatever your opinion or philosophy or belief that you have or whatever celebration that you want to participate in. They're waiting in the wings just to knock you down. We've never seen anything like this before. The technology has worked against us. And I think what we have lost in that regard is the ability to be civil. I think civility is gone. I think the technologies have taken it away. I mean, we joke about now where people are just walking back and forth with their, doing this all the time and never look up. We actually have signs in my workplace cautioning you to stop texting when you're on the stairs because people have fallen and hurt themselves. Now that seems to me kind of silly, and I hear the laughs here as well. But we've got people, I've watched them, who just walk, we've seen them. They walk into manholes, they trip over into fountains. They're so lost in their machinery that they cannot observe the world around them and take offense if you stop them at that point. There's no dialogue between face-to-face anymore. At my workplace, we have meetings all the time on the phone. Even though I hear the voices all around me, we can't get together in a room to sit down and talk about it. We have to be on the phone. Joel, is that your dog?
Willie's home.
Willie's home. Everyone seems to be primed to be offended. I'm ready to be offended at a moment's notice. Just give me an opportunity, I'll go off on a rant somewhere if I possibly can. Not really. It's just we're so thin-skinned anymore that we're ready to have our feelings hurt no matter what. And I think that's not all of our faults. I think we've been conditioned to do that over the last several decades. Take a look at what we have on TV and what the media is producing for us today. Look at the reality shows that we have, which are terribly named. I mean, they're shameful to watch. But here is a cult of celebrity that has been pushed down our throats for people who have absolutely no cause whatsoever to be famous. I'm thinking of, and I thought to myself, no, don't say these things. Someone will be offended. In the UK this last week, an aviation firm launched the largest aircraft in the world today. It's called Airlift 10. It's huge. It's absolutely three times larger than any aircraft out there. It is a heavy lift aircraft, filled with helium. It is, think of it as two large cucumbers mated together side by side. And you know what they call it? The flying bum, or the Kardashian. Why? Poor Kim Kardashian, who has no talent that I can discern or uncover, has managed to grow and cultivate the most amazing tush, and we see it everywhere. So now there's an airship whose nickname, the bum, or the Kardashian, the flying Kardashian. That's where we're at in our world today. It doesn't matter what star you put out there, they have no talent. We're stuffed in their lives. Look at Big Brothers and Big Sisters, or what was that the name of Big Brother and Big Sister? The house where they all get together and then they find out, well, who's going to sleep with who first and who's going to fight?
Big Brother.
Thank you very much. There's no social redeeming value in that show. And I know people who are glued to it. My oldest daughter told me a couple years ago, I'd love to be on that show. Why? She could come up with no answer other than, oh, I'll be on TV. I'll get you on TV. You don't have to be on a show like that. But we're so willing to surrender ourselves, our privacy, our morals to the media because we want to be on TV. We want to be seen by everybody. We want to be heard. We want our voice to be heard. Is it because we have no control in our own lives today, that everything else is outside our own sphere, that we can't help what happens? I don't know. I don't have the answer. All I know is it's depressing to pay attention to and realize how far down the toilet we've gone in so many respects. And I know it sounds blunt, but none of this is particularly new. We just see it more in our face because of technology. You can go back to the early 18th century during the Age of Enlightenment in Europe, which we're still feeling the repercussions today, and watch our own founding fathers see what they did with that Age of Enlightenment. Take Ben Franklin, for instance, one of our great guys, right? Scientist, inventor, philosopher, statesman, got all the great titles. Eschewed religion. He called himself a deist. That's it. He and Tom Jefferson were instrumental in bringing this kind of enlightened thinking to America. He considered himself a deist, as I said. He believed that the higher power in a higher power, but it wasn't necessarily God. It wasn't an all-knowing, benevolent God. Instead, his God was a personification of the reason and order of the nature in the universe. To him, science, reason, and secularism were the answers to life. Now, I've got no argument with science and reason. I love it. I believe in it. I think it's great. It's objective. It's out there. You can prove it. It's fine. It doesn't conflict with my religious views whatsoever. But secularism does, in my opinion. Ben Franklin went so far as to write down what he called his 13 virtues. These were his personal commandments that he developed on his own that he thought that everyone should live by. None of them include the Ten Commandments. There were things that he determined that were good for his life, and that's the way he was going to live his life. Thomas Jefferson, what can you say about this man? One of the most brilliant men in America ever. Wrote the Constitution, along with Madison, really the Declaration of Independence, a great statesman, our President of the United States. Took the King James Bible, cut out the snippets he thought were relevant, pasted them a book, and created what we call today the Jeffersonian Bible. The rest of it wasn't worth it to him. He picked out what worked for him. That was his theology. You get to pick and choose and forget the rest of it. And the sad thing about that is that if we believe the Bible is the Word of God, what do we call it? Basic instructions before leaving Earth? If we believe that the Bible is the Word of God, God breathed, written by man, he wrote the rules. Beginning and end, right? These are the rules of the game. This is how we play the game. And if you just pick and choose the rules of the game, then you're saying, well, I only believe a little bit of it, or I only believe what really belongs to me today, or I only believe what's convenient today. And look around at our lives today, that's exactly what we've done. We've said, I don't have to worry about what the rest of you think. I have developed my own morality. You do not get to tell me what is right and wrong. If you do so, the haters are all over you. How dare you tell me how to live my life? How dare you tell me that this behavior is wrong? Look at our political system today. We all are amazed at how bad it's gotten. And yet it continues anyhow in spite of the protests from the American public saying, this has got to stop. But it doesn't stop. It doesn't stop, and it isn't going to stop. This is a turning point in American politics now. This is my only prediction you'll hear me ever make. Because from now on, this is the way it's going to always be. Because we want to make it acceptable this cycle. Civility is gone. Now, this isn't the worst we've ever seen, by the way. If you look back at the Lincoln elections, they called poor Lincoln, who we revere anymore, the monkey, and all kinds of terrible name-calling took place when he was running for election. So we've been really bad before. It's just that now it just seems like we've lost all of it. There's no truth anymore in what we hear. You can't believe any of the candidates, and I don't care which side you fall on. Truth is, if you look at what's taking place here, it's awful for us, and we know that. The idea that man knows best and is best able to govern himself has permeated our society ever since the Enlightenment took place. If you look in Europe today, Christianity is so far on the decline, the state runs the churches. They tax the people to maintain their cathedrals. They're largely empty anymore. Christianity has been on its way out for some time. They're really more monuments to a bygone age, which is really sad, obviously. You look at our own country now, Christianity is on the decline. In fact, we joke about it, people put it down, people don't even appreciate the mores that the Christianity has to offer. It's old-fashioned. Times have changed, you'll hear them say all the time. We don't live in first century Israel, so these rules don't apply. The thing is, we don't live in first century Jerusalem anymore, but we're still the same people. We're still just as greedy and as malevolent and deviant and nasty as anybody else ever was throughout history. We haven't changed as mankind. We're still sinners. What does Paul say in Romans? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. None of us are perfect. Some are worse than others. Truthfully, some are worse than others. We don't just shoot one person anymore. We wipe out entire families or whole schools. We've gotten so off the rail here that we've lost our own sense of balance, our own center. And it was foretold. That's the thing I find fascinating. Who's got a Bible that can look up 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4? Ed, I know, Ed, come on, go. Come on, who's going to get it first, the technology or the old school? You got it, Joel, go for it. Just 3 and 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4.
For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teaching, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall turn into fables.
Is that true today? We have turned away from the truth. We have eschewed Christ's teaching and said, I'm going to make my own rules. I'm going to find people to lead me in my own path the way I believe it should be done. I once heard a Leslie Stahl interview a preacher on one of these really big mega churches out on the West Coast. It was a couple years ago, and it stuck with me because of what this man said. Thousands of people attend this feel-good church that he's got going. And she asked him, why Christianity? Why do you say Christianity, you know, is the only way? He says, I don't say it's the only way. I say it's the one sure way, but there may be other ways to get to heaven, but I just know this way will work. Well, I thought of that. I thought, well, we know that, but why can't you say this is the only way? Does not Jesus say, I am the Word and the life? None shall approach Father but through me. There is no other way. No other religion says that. But we're afraid to say that because we don't want to offend somebody else. We should sit there and stridently say, this is the only way. Not all paths lead to the mountaintop. You can walk around the mountain all day. But until you believe in Christ Jesus as the salvation, as God himself, you're never going to get to the mountaintop. And that's the truth. But we don't hear that truth. We hear a lot of good feel-good gospel. Pray for treasure, you'll get treasure. Pray for good health, you'll get good health. We know that's not true. If we read the scriptures, we know that God says that's not the case. You still got chapter 4 right there in your hands?
Yep.
All right, read verses 1 and 2, and then go to 5.
I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Verse 5, but watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of the evangelist, make full proof of thy ministries.
That's what we're to do. It takes the great commandment where Christ says, go forth and preach the word to everyone. It tells us in these times when people have said, I'm going to only listen to my own voice or only those people who make me feel good, that we have to go out and rebuke and extol and explain and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is our task to do. It's not an easy task. Everyone's arrayed against you. It's all fine for us to preach to each other. I know that. We come here for sanctuary, to be honest with you. It's an ancient concept, I know that, but we come here because we are like-minded people, and it's safe here to express our opinions and to preach to each other and extol and build each other up. But leave here, outside, it's a rough and tumble world out there. And people don't want to hear this message. Why? It embarrasses them. Because in their hearts, they know we're right. No one wants to be rebuked. I was rebuked once by a church in Ohio. I used to have a water hauling company. I hauled drinkable water to rural areas when the wells ran dry in the summer and the livestock were short of water. And I stopped one time at a corner because my truck broke down. They coasted into a corner bar. Went in to call the mechanic to come get me, and somebody from my church saw my truck parked in front of the bar. I didn't think a thing about it. But Sunday morning, the deacons gathered me together and wanted to know what I'm doing parked in front of the bar. And I took offense at that initially. I was embarrassed, and I thought, you know what, that's none of your business. I'm trying to figure out a way to get my truck home. That's all. They only had the only phone on the intersection. And then I remembered, he doesn't know that. He leaped to a conclusion. I understand that. And it was a wrong conclusion. But he had every right in the world to say to me, Howard, what are you doing parked in front of a bar? I had no problem with that when I realized what the nature was. And the thing is, he said it to me in love. He wasn't trying to excommunicate me or bash me or throw me out of the church. It was, we thought, you know, after all this time, we thought something's going wrong in your life and we wanted to help. And I understood that. At a church I went to in Pennsylvania, we had a man who was causing all kinds of trouble in the church. All kinds of trouble. Hate and discontent just came. He had a small little following. Just trashing the preacher, the deacons, the chorus, everybody. They called him at the front. The deacons called him up front and chastised him right there in front of the church, just like it says to do in the scripture. I'd never seen that before. He broke down and cried and begged forgiveness. The Holy Spirit was in that church that day, and he knew it. And it was amazing. If you'd had that happen today, somebody'd sue you. You know, some would have it on YouTube and you'd be shamed and hated. It would be awful. You know, our director of media relations had that on YouTube in a heartbeat. I'm just We've lost our shame in this country. Nothing you do is embarrassing. Look what's going on with that Olympic swimmer. He lied while it took place in Rio. He's been caught at it. He's apologized for it. He won't change his tune. And he's not bothered by it. And the sponsors haven't let him go. There's no shame. I'm thinking, if that was my daughter and she did that, what the heck were you thinking? Seriously. But you caused a problem and you lied about it publicly to try to cover up your own screw up. And you got caught, which generally always happens. And there's no shame. One of the most disturbing trends, and I know I'm going, geez, Lord, you've got to stop me at some point. Remember the outcry a couple years ago of young girls texting their nude pictures to their boyfriends and whatever? Schools were shut down. Kids were arrested for child pornography. This is a big thing. Heard anything about it lately? And yet it is so prevalent now. It is almost considered to be required that your boyfriend will say, well, send me some pictures of you. And if she doesn't, they break up. Some girls will send pictures to the boy they want to date. It was almost saying, look, here's what you're missing if you don't go out with me. No one makes this an issue anymore. That's just in the last couple years. There's an app in Japan that's going to hit this country in the next couple weeks. They're announcing it. It's got millions of people who've joined this app. It's called Beautify. They take a selfie of themselves, and then they can lighten their skin, drop their cheeks a little bit, raise or round their eyes, do whatever they want to make themselves be more beautiful, and then they post that as their selfie. And these girls spend hours going out. When they go out, they don't go out with guys or groups. They go out to take selfies. That's how narcissistic we've become. That's how centered we've become. Remember what a selfie was? Could you take my picture while we're at the Niagara Falls? That was a selfie. We don't do that anymore. Now we sext. congressmen do it. That's no big deal anymore. It's not headlines anymore. We've gotten used to it. And if you count against it, if you rail against it, you're old-fashioned. You don't get it. This is the way things are. You know, I heard a young girl when I was down at the shore the other day when I was setting up camp, who was arguing with her mom that everybody does it. Oh, gosh, we've heard that forever, haven't we? And if would you jump off a cliff if they did? No. You know, we hear all the arguments. But it's still out there. So if we're going to preach the word, if we're going to say to ourselves, I believe this is the word of God, right here, the word of God, this is it, right here. God breathed, written by man, inspired by God. Okay, again, an amen?
Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We can do that, absolutely. If that's the case, then Christ is the Son of God, right? If we believe this word, then Christ is the Son of God, right?
Yeah.
Amen to that, okay? If Christ is the Son of God, so is the Holy Spirit, right?
Yeah.
That indwells all of us, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So where else is there a truth? It's here. This is the truth we need to get out to people. This is the word that needs to be spread. In this book are the instructions how to live your life before you leave Earth. Every life situation that man has ever encountered is in here. You don't believe me? Read it. Pick up the word and read it. It's there. Sometimes what isn't said is just as important as what's being said. A lot of times I say, well, it doesn't say in the Bible you can't do this. There's a reason why. It tells you what to do, not what not to do. What is the greatest commandment in this book?
Love each other.
Love God with all your mind, all your soul, and all your heart. That is the greatest commandment. And what is the second greatest commandment Jesus says?
Love
your neighbor as yourself. Hand and glove commandments. That's the gospel we preach, is love. We do all the rebuking, all the extolling in love. And Matt, we read the scripture this morning in Matthew. You've heard it said that to love your neighbor and hate your, or love your neighbor and hate your enemies. I tell you to love your enemies as well. Right? We also hear, as we said, the greatest commandments. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. How hard is it to love yourself? It's hard sometimes. My gosh, we all screw up. We've embarrassed ourselves. We've got things we regret in our lives and things we wish we hadn't have said or done or whatever. They're your business. They're in your heart, locked away, to be brought up every time something comes nearby, or you go, oh, geez, when God convicts you. When God convicts you, that soul-crushing conviction that you really screwed the pooch on this one, how do you make it right? That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. That's God speaking to you. That's the word of God speaking to you, and that's the word we have to preach to everyone. This is a God that we believe in. It is a God of love, not a God of retribution, not a God of vengeance, not a God of retaliation. It is a God of love at all times. He may smack you around a little bit. Go around the New Testament, Old Testament. There's not a single character in the Old Testament that ever got away with defying what God wanted him to do. Every single one of those characters in the Old Testament eventually had to conform to what God told them to do. Look at poor Jonah. Great example, right? Swallowed by a whale, shipwrecked, underneath the shade that withered away. Everything possible not to do what God could do. Look at Samson. Every prophet, every character in the Old Testament felt the wrath of God when you don't follow what God says to do. And we feel that too. That's the conviction the Holy Spirit puts on our hearts. You screwed up. I said something I shouldn't. I need to apologize. I need to go to my brother that works next to me and say, hey, you know what? You shouldn't have said that. That wasn't right. This report was due and you didn't do it and you lied about it. Just, you know, yes, correct. Because we live in a world now where everything is acceptable. It's okay. I'm not advocating getting in everybody's face. That's just rude. But you do it in love. Always in love. And that's what Jesus said. Jesus is hanging on the cross. And he asked God to forgive those people who put him there. Hanging on the cross. It says, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Take this as your mother. Take care of her. Preach my word. Go forth. I don't think I could hang on a cross and say those words. I'd like to think I could. I don't think I can. I don't think I have it in me. The pain, the anger, whatever. I don't know. But on the cross, he says, forgive them. I don't know how we do that. But that's what we're commanded to do. To preach in love to all people at all times. live our lives like Christ. Will we do it? Good Lord, no. We can't. He was perfect. We can only try. Did not Christ say to the woman at the well, go forth and sin no more, your sins have been forgiven you? He expects that from all of us. When we confess our sins, don't go do that again. That's the gospel. That's what this is about. In love. It's a gospel of love. It's not a gospel of retribution. It's not a gospel of hate. It's a gospel of love. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Hey, Howard.
Yep.
Stay here for a second.
Your hair's all messed up.
I know your hair's all messed up. I hate that when that happens. Howard and I were visiting. Howard said to me, who's going to preach while you're gone? And I said, well, Karen's going to deliver the message for the week that I'm gone. And I said to Howard, how'd you like to do the message when I come back? Howard sent me a text, and he said, I've been led to preach on 2 Timothy 4. A lot of you folks are led to preach. You've got a message in your head that you don't tell me about. This was not Howard's message. This is God's message. Now, God had a message, and Howard's the vehicle. Howard sent you a message that Howard not only was tied to the scripture, but tied to the subject material. You know, Howard's one of those folks, you know, I love all y'all, but I have a group of folks that help pastor the pastor along the way. And you may do it intentionally or you may do it unintentionally. But Howard's one of those folks that says to me, hey, come here, I think you ought to think about this. And he does it in love. But if you've got a message inside that you think God might be calling you, it doesn't go away. I don't want you to wind up like Jonah and the whale, have you be walking by Lake Sioux or Lake George and this giant fish grabs you and tarts you around for a while. But be a blessing to somebody else. I'm blessed by your message. And I ask folks to join with me in prayer. Father, we thank you for Howard. We thank you for the message he delivered. We thank you for the spirit that Howard has. Howard loves the Bible. Howard not only reads the Bible, but he lives the Bible. He carries it with him in his heart. He takes it to work. He takes it home. He takes it wherever he goes. And he's a sharer and a carer because he knows God's a God of love. We ask, Father, that you bless him and bless all those that hear your voice and hear your voice and then follow your will. Lift us up. Help us all to be more than we ever thought we could be. We ask all this in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said,
amen.
I'm going to close with 445, just as I am. 445.
To rid my soul of one.
Father, this service ends, but our real service begins. We ask, Lord, that you give us the opportunity to take the favor that you have shown us, the immense, mind-blowing, healing, loving favor that you've given us. Yes, Lord, each and every one of us has these gifts to share, and give us the courage to go share them. Later today at a picnic, tomorrow at work, wherever we walk, let the Lord Jesus Christ reign and walk and talk in our lives and put him first in each and everything that we do. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name, and all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.
We missed one birthday. Cadence becomes a teenager tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Oh. Hey.